All right, we're going to have a little conversation about prayer today. We're going to try to keep it moving, but one thing that I want to say is this is really difficult to come up here and do this. So God bless you guys for being willing to do this, but we're going to have a little conversation about prayer, and I think we are going to start with talking about the different experiences that we've had, and we are going to start with Cheryl.
So for any of you to begin to understand how I've experienced prayer in my life, I need to take you back to a time when I was a little girl. I was 4 years old when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I had this really tender heart. For as long as I can remember, I really wanted people to come to know Jesus. Unfortunately, that would cause me to be bullied a lot at school, and by the time I was in fifth grade, I was labeled as a Jesus freak. That really broke my heart. I can remember having the desire to pray and want to pray, but being terrified whenever I was with other kids my age, even at church. When it came time for me, my turn to pray, my lips would quiver uncontrollably. My eyelids would flutter, and my knees would shake like jello. I wondered if I ever would be able to pray in front of anybody. Jesus seemed to know my heart and what I needed, though, and he kept putting one or two special women in my life, even when we changed churches, that would come along beside me and encourage me. But still, my lips would quiver, and anxiety over prayer would follow me through my teens. I had no idea then what was ahead of me, and the challenges I would face with my health throughout the rest of my life, nor the struggles and the losses I would experience in my adult life. But Jesus seemed to keep putting opportunities in front of me to push me out of my comfort zone with prayer. Little did I know that he was preparing me to one day pour into others like these women had poured into me along the way. Those difficult challenges in my life were going to one day be used by Jesus. He knew the tattered edges of my heart from the challenges I had faced would fit perfectly up against other tattered hearts who went through similar challenges in their life. So he continued to bring them into my life over and over again for me to encourage and walk beside. In doing so, he was stretching my prayer walk and pushing me through the fear. So when Pastor Daniel came up with that question about prayer, I couldn't help but go back in my mind to that scared, little, tender-hearted girl. That wanted so much to help others and to be able to pray, but every time she tried, her lips quivered, her eyelids fluttered, and her knees would shake like jello. So if I could go back in time, I would tell her to hold on tightly to Jesus and not let go no matter what. And that all of her pain and struggles were going to one day be part of her testimony. And that no matter how scary and insecure she felt, that I wanted her to never stop praying, because Jesus would be there to walk her slowly through the fear, and he would be with her through every trial she was going to face. I would tell her that he was preparing her to one day help launch a prayer ministry. But only after years of pushing through the fear and pouring into others and walking beside them and lifting them up in prayer, I would let her know that Jesus would open the floodgates of her tender heart to pour out prayers in text, in paper, and in her phone, and that she would create verse images from her own pictures, and she would share those deepest prayers and artistic verse images with so many people, trying to encourage them in her faith. I would tell her that he was going to strengthen her prayer walk in ways she could never imagine. And that prayer would one day become the heartbeat of her testimony, her faith in a ministry that she would be involved in leading. I would tell her that prayer won't always be scary to her like it is now, and that decades down the road, she would realize its power and beauty. And then the last thing I would tell her as I hugged her tightly is that her tenderheartedness was never a weakness like it had been told to her many times. It was a gift from Jesus that he would use to fuel her compassion for others and be the driving force behind her prayers. So as I close this, I hope you will see through the small glimpses into my journey with prayer, that in our own power, things seem pretty impossible. But through the love of Jesus and the beauty and power of prayer, anything is possible through him.
Thank you. Yeah, you get that's yours. What's up? Oh, yeah. So let's go ahead and bump up the next slide as Jeannie talks.
So for me, my story, what prayer just means to me is just communicating with God. You know, I feel like the Bible is how he communicates with us, and prayer is the gift that he's given us to communicate with him. And prayer for me and our family has been so important because we didn't really grow up knowing God. And so we know that people prayed for us, and now that we're saved, you know, we know that prayer works, because we know that there was people praying for us, praying for me, praying for our family, and here we are today, you know what I mean? And me being a part of, you know, launching a prayer ministry, that right there is an answered prayer, you know what I mean? That shows you right there that prayer works, that God listens, and that prayer is not something... It can be intimidating. I know some people could get scared of prayer, but if you just, you know, allow yourself the opportunity to speak to God the way that you speak to a friend, you know what I mean? He listens to you and wants to hear your voice and wants to answer your prayers, because that's just his Father's heart for us. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I was so grateful to Pastor Daniel was this vision that God had given me years ago, before I even started coming to Meridian, was to have a prayer room at a church. And when I approached him about the idea, he loved it. And I was nervous and scared because I thought he was going to say no. But there was an available room, and it was a mess, you remember? And we completely gutted it and took everything out. And I could tell you all of the amazing testimonies and stories that went into that room specifically, and how God just made that happen. But that room is there for anybody, for the entire church, anybody that wants to come. Because I know sometimes coming here into the sanctuary and being in the pulpit can be intimidating, but having a prayer room where it's a little bit more intimate, a little bit more quieter, you know what I mean? Just gives you an opportunity to connect with God in a different way. So that room is available to anybody, whenever. We're calling it the Prayer and Connect Room because everybody just loves that room so much, and it's been used more than just a prayer room. It's been used to for counseling, for meetings, for groups. So we've renamed it the Prayer and Connect Room. So
for me, really my prayer journey started when I entered sobriety. I had people speaking truth into me before I ever was aware of what they were doing. But they said it every evening I should kneel down and take my slippers off and put them under the bed. And as long as I'm down on my knees, I might as well thank God for another day of sobriety. And then in the morning when you wake up, of course, you're looking for your slippers, and you kneel down and grab the slippers out from underneath the bed. And as long as you're kneeling down, grabbing your slippers, that you should ask God to give you one more day of sobriety. And you know, that worked for years and years. And eventually, I accepted Christ and started coming to church. Well, to make a long story short, my parents had been praying for me for 8 years. And they prayed that, number one, that I would come to my senses and quit the drinking and the substance abuse. But ultimately, they wanted me to be born into the kingdom of God. And the amazing thing about this is it's kind of talked about in the Bible. The Bible has a scripture in Luke, middle of Luke. It's interesting. Jesus is talking a lot about faith, and he's talking a lot about the kingdom, and he's talking a lot about forgiveness. And then he hits this idea of the persistent widow. I don't know how many of you have ever studied that or looked at it, but there was a woman that kept bothering. It says the judge did not fear God and did not like men, which means he was kind of an ornery old person. But the woman came continually to him with, she wanted justice. And she went every day demanding justice for a problem that that was occurring. And the judge decided, I'm going to give her the justice that she's been asking for because she's going to wear me out. And God used this message to give his disciples. Jesus was trying to teach his disciples to, number one, always pray, and number two, never give up. Amen. Never stop praying. And when I look at that, my parents prayed for me for 8 years without stop, with a faith that something could happen in my life. And something did happen in my life. And it just shows me, number one, how truth in the scripture really lives itself out in our lives. Mm. And then number two, how as we offer up prayers for those amongst us, for prayers in our family, that we simply need to continue to pray day and night, and we simply need to pray with faith, believing that that will take place.
Amen. Thank you so much. And in the words of Keegan Height, those were all very based takes. You guys know what that means? No? It's good. Keegan's given me one other assignment that I got to try to do. So question number two, Alan started to answer that, and then Cheryl's going to chime in. But a scripture that we think of with prayer, so Alan talked about the perseverant widow.
For me, I love the story of David and how his life shapes about half of the Psalms. As he pours out his heart to God in the midst of his struggles, his fears, and his failures. That's why it makes a great prayer teaching resource to go to, especially when you're overwhelmed with life struggles and just need some help finding the right words to pray. So listen along as I read a few verses out of my favorite psalm, Psalm 62, and let these words encourage your hearts today. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. Trust in him at all times, so people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Mm. Amen?
Amen. Yeah, and then with the question, group doing a great job. It's a lot harder than you think. It's easy to talk for a long time. It's hard to talk for a short time. But Alan is going to answer the question, what is the vision? What are we going for the prayer mission, prayer ministry?
Yeah, there was a vision statement written up. It says, to see lives, families, and our community transformed through the power of prayer, drawing hearts closer to God and to each other. To put that into a simple word, as we receive prayer requests, we will be praying for that. One thing that's happened over the past year, I don't know exactly how long we've been doing this, is I've had about 8 people that have joined me in praying during service. I'm a firm believer that any ministry and every ministry needs to be deeply bathed in prayer. But that almost seems like such a broad statement, and we have so very little specifics. When it really becomes specific is when there is a unique, specified prayer, and that we can corporately and individually be praying to see lives impacted. Again, to go back to my parents, they prayed with a definite thought that their youngest son needed to have Jesus in his life. And they continued to pray that prayer until that specific prayer was answered. And I think that's really our vision. Our purpose is to see lives impacted to the good of the kingdom of God. Pretty simple, pretty much straightforward, but it gives everyone a chance to know that their lives are meaningful within the body of Christ here at Meridian.
All right, and the next question is, what is the mission? Jeannie is going to answer that
question. So our mission, as you can see, is up there on the screen, and my favorite part of the mission statement is that we want to cultivate a culture of prayer at our church. And with that, that just entails talking about prayer, right? There's so many people that have a hard time with prayer and think that prayer is scary or really don't understand it. And so to be able to cultivate prayer in a way that we can make it easy, accessible, something that everybody, that we can just teach it, you know what I mean? Talk about it, create an environment where everyone at our church knows that we're not just a church that talks about prayer, but that we're a church that is known for praying, because people can see that things that are happening are not happening in the natural because we just spoke it, but it's like, okay, no, God is there. Things are happening at that church because there's people praying at that church. So our mission is just to be able to empower everybody with what prayer is so that they feel confident in knowing that God hears them and listens to them and wants them to speak to him and talk to him, and he wants to answer their prayers.
All right. And now Cheryl's going to talk about what people can do to participate or volunteer.
So since we all have different levels of comfort when it comes to prayer, we wanted to make sure that we offered more than one way to be involved in the prayer ministry. So I'm going to share with you three ways that you can serve. Supported prayer. It involves praying behind the scenes at home for all prayer team shared concerns and praises from the congregation. All team members will be encouraged to participate in supported prayer because it's the heart of the prayer ministry, and they will have the ability to set their own flexible schedule. So, the next opportunity is preparation prayer. It involves being willing to come 30 minutes prior to Sunday service or other special events to walk through the sanctuary and other parts of the building for 10 to 15 minutes while praying for all the needs related to that service. Frequency will depend upon the number of team members that sign up. And some of you may have noticed since about October that sometimes we're walking through the sanctuary in the rows and praying over the instruments and praying over the songs, praying over whatever pastor is going to be preaching that day, and just praying for the Holy Spirit to move through the art on the walls, through Jenny's awesome talent, through the prayers and the words of encouragement for our youth, for the tech booth and the importance the tech team plays in every service, to all the volunteers that work in children's ministry and nursery and the ushers and all of those things. It's important to prepare the building God has given us for the Holy Spirit to be able to dwell in and to move. So the last and final way is called the front lines team. It involves arriving 15 minutes before service, being available to pray with anyone in person before, during, or after services, or to pray for a pastor before their message, or any other prayer needs on the platform. So that team can be a little bit scary. That's why we wanted to give other opportunities. So no matter where you are in your prayer walk, in your prayer journey, there's a place for you. So each frontline team member will be provided a name tag to wear during regular Sunday services. And the frequency will depend upon the number of team members that sign up. So you can see these beautiful name tags that Jeannie worked very hard on designing and ordering for us. And so if you choose to be a part of the Front Lines team, you will be identified by the name tag that you wear. That will remind the pastors who we are and the ushers and you as the congregation. So if you want to grab one of us and tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, I really had a rough week. Can we go to the prayer room and pray before service? We would love to do that with you. So if you have a heart for prayer, we'd love for you to join us as we begin our first year of ministry together. Sign up starts today, and we'll have a clipboard with a sign-up sheet available in the lobby for your convenience. So if you have any questions, please feel free to ask Alan, Jeannie, or myself, or if it's during the week and you think of something, please contact Anne in the church office. She'll get the message to us with your phone number, and we'll be happy to call and discuss your questions. But we're basically going to have sign-up this Sunday and next Sunday. And the cutoff for the prayer team will be Wednesday, March 4th. Because on March 8th, we're going to have the entire prayer team come up, be acknowledged, be anointed, and be prayed over as we begin this journey. So thank you.
That is a one-year commitment, right? It's a one-year term that we're looking for. You guys did a great job. Wow. I am. Will you show me what time it is on your phone? I don't have a. What time is it? Wow, we did great with time. Well done. So good. I didn't expect really to have time to say anything.
It's on you now.
It's awesome. So I get to talk for the next 30 minutes now, right? Because do as I say, not as I do. I'm a huge. You know, I hope I'm not that hypocritical. But thank you. From hearing those stories, the anxious girl, the people who are prayed into the kingdom, very encouraging and hopeful. So let's go ahead and check out the next slide. The next slide has the core values, and you can kind of see those things. One thing that stood out to me was the word compassion. And one of my big hearts for the prayer ministry was something Cheryl said to me, and she talked about having the gift of seeing people. And that's one of the things we really hope for when people come into our church, is that they feel seen. And I love a story. There's a story of Hagar, a woman in Genesis, and she runs away as an immigrant who's very vulnerable, and she encounters God when she's at just the weakest place, a place of just desperation. And she encounters God as El Roy, the God who sees. And so one of the intentions for this ministry is to have people to have an opportunity to be seen too, because we're all going through battles that nobody else knows about. Jeannie had a heck of a battle just coming here this morning. Traffic jam, and would she get here or not? So that we're all coming in with various things that we're facing. So let's go ahead and go to this next slide. So you see the logo for the ministry, and that QR code there, that will take you to a form. It's a Google form, but if there's anything you want prayed about, you can write that there. And somebody will pray for you. Cheryl is going to especially be responsible to man it. The whole team will, but Cheryl's going to be checking. It's prayer@meridianchog.org. And so they will be getting these forms, or if you want to email that directly, you can. And we want people to know that they're being prayed for, and we plan to follow up on it to you, like a note, hey, you're seen, we're praying about you, we know about this, so that you know that you're not alone. So thank you. Again, what?
Prayer cards. Can you talk about the prayer cards?
Yeah.
Cheers.
So
if you look behind or in front, I guess, of the chair in front of you, there are some prayer slips. Those are new that we just put in there that you can begin to use. Yeah.
Yes, Anne's holding one
up. Anne is holding one up right now. And those are called prayer and praise slips. So if there's a prayer, a need, you can fill it out. And there will be a prayer box out in the lobby, like where the post is at, and you can put it in there. Or if it's a praise that you want to share with us, put it, write it there as well and put it in there. But just know that no prayer is too little or too big. All of your concerns matter to us as a team, to our pastor. I will say something. I'm going to call out Daniel, because this is just, to me, one of the, even more of a reason why, you know, I love him as our pastor. When we're discussing, you know, how we're going to manage everything and where the prayer concerns are going to go, we're like, well, you know, well, it'll come to the prayer team, right? And he says, well, I want to be on there too, because I want to know, you know, everybody's, you know, concern as well. Like, I want to be praying for them too. So that, you know what I mean? It's just, that's the kind of pastor that we have. So that's wonderful. But anyways, QR code, prayer slips, use them, fill them out. You can put them in that box. It's locked, so that's it's nobody's going to be able to get into it or anything like that. It's private. And just know that we're here to just pray for any of your concerns.
So since we have a little bit of time, Jeannie came to me in September after service, and Jeannie and I have known each other since 2019, and she always knew she could come to me or text me with any kind of prayer request or anything she was going through. We always had that connection. But she came up to me after church in September and said, hey, I've been doing this Zoom prayer meeting like every morning with a group of people that I'm really not, you know, connected to, but it's been amazing. Like, how do you feel about you and I, like, doing a Zoom prayer meeting, like, every day for a while? And I kind of stood there and I was like, ooh, like, I'm 62 years old. I don't do Zoom, like, really super well. So I was like, ooh, okay, well, how about we just start it, like, you and I, before we invite other people into it? And, we came up on the number and decided for 14 days that we would set a time up for each day. And for 14 days straight, her and I would pray. I would say that 14 days of prayer changed both of our lives, changed our friendship, and took it to a whole new level. We wept over things together. We prayed over every inch of this building. We prayed over every single volunteer and changed what we were praying on each day for the church. We saw the Holy Spirit work as he had opened up my heart on my own and Jeannie's heart on her own for the passions that we wanted to see become part of the prayer ministry. And as we began to share those with each other, we realized how much in line our vision was. And we knew that was only the Holy Spirit, right? So I hope if you've heard anything today, that you've heard three broken people with a lot of challenges that they've been through in their life, a lot of struggles. And that I hope you feel like you can relate to us, because we are broken people and we're saved by the grace of God. And we're sitting here on the backs of people that have prayed for us throughout our lifetime and how God grew our own love for prayer and helped us to one day grasp the beauty of prayer and the power behind it. So we're not super saints. We're very normal people, right? Saved by grace.
Yeah, and thank you. We're going to ask the worship team to come back up here. And I'm going to add another number. There's four broken people up here. I'm part of that crew, too. And the vision that we have here, and you see a pitcher pouring out, it's about filling. And Paul talked about being filled with the fullness of God. Or we talk about being filled with peace or the Spirit. And so we're going to close as the worship team, again, makes their way back in and we transition this area to them. We're going to close with that blessing from the prayer team that is on the verse, or the verse that's on the card, because it's the foundational verse of the prayer ministry, and it's this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that through the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope.